But I am very thankful to be here this morning with you. And I have many thoughts that are placed upon my heart. I do ask an interest in your prayers. I was pondering over many things that have to do with the very cornerstone of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, most importantly, very intricately positioned in our Christian life, has to be. That is the benchmark. That is the very focal point of our Christian life. That is the very view. That is the very vision of our Christian life, the mode of life that we live, the very purpose for our Christian faith, for the power of God extended to us, Jesus Christ. That is our view, and that is our way of life, Jesus Christ. And when we look to the witness of Christ, we need to be moved by the witness of Christ, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the faithful witness, you know, and the witness of the Father and the Son, that if we would enter in by the way that we shall receive. You know, not a maybe. I don't think it's a maybe thing. The maybe thing about it is he says that we're not to be hypocritical, or, you know, that we're supposed to be in with full purpose of heart. And like Jesus said, that we sit down and we count the cost or what it's going to take to build the house. We should give it thought and consideration when entering into that covenant with the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We consider. It's something that we should think about very importantly, because you are pledging your life. You are looking forward, full view, to eternal life. And so we should think very carefully. And yet, we should let God have full sway in our heart and in our lives. And so it's a very foundational and important thing that we need to have. And I'd like to take a look with you at many of the scriptures and thoughts that God wants us to know about His Holy Spirit. And yet we know there's more to savor, and there's more to look into, and more to be manifested through His Holy Spirit that is beyond maybe even certainly our human thinking capabilities, because it's the power of God. And it's the witness of God. And it carries that message. It carries His scriptures. It carries the will of the Lord into our lives. And it is His proof. It is the power of God. And many scriptures do bear that out as well. And so I wanted to take a look, if you will, first of all, into Psalms in the 11th chapter. And there's a very powerful scripture that keeps sticking in my mind. Psalm 11. And I would like to read verses 3 and 4. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's so much power and information in that very thought. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord looks upon all men. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And we if we think about it and we look at His scriptures, we're talking about where we are to be with full intent, with full purpose of heart. The He certainly knows our thoughts and intents of our heart, doesn't He? And He knows, it says, the Lord knoweth them, it has this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How does He know that? Did you ever think about that? It says, we have this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. And so therefore, and we talk about living by faith unto endurance, He knows that you are. When you are living through your life and you are living by faith, you are living the gospel of Christ, He notices and knows. And like Jesus said, that if a sparrow cannot hit the ground without His notice, that He also doesn't He know the very number of hairs upon our head. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And like He also says in Psalms, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cries. We pray. He hears. And if He can certainly hear our prayers and He commands us to pray, does He not also know? And these are spiritual. When Jesus was talking to the woman that was at the well, His disciples were going away. They were going to get food. They went to get meat, it says. And He was talking to this lady who was at the well. And basically told her, you know, how many husbands that she had. And she says, the one that you now have is not your husband. And she's going, whoa, how does He know that? And then He went on to talk about worship. You worship. You think you worship at Jerusalem. You think you worship at the temple. But the time is, and now it is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of God shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we're worshiping the Father in the name of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. And now, the Spirit of God, you say, well, how do I feel it? How do I know it? How can I realize it? And we know one very important thing, that it draws us to Christ. And if it does draw us to Christ, then it will also motivate us or move us by the power of God to obey His gospel. And we know that there are very, very precious attributes in the gospel. We know that they will be righteous things. We know that they will be good things. We know that they won't be evil things. We know that they won't be things that drive us away from Christ or persuade us not to keep His commandments, you see. And so a very, very important thing. We can know the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so a very important foundational thing. And we need to know, and we got to keep that foundation in our lives. It's a very important thing, that gospel message. And that is why also, and we know that there was a specific thought, you know, that David probably had about the foundations and how they may be destroyed and what can the righteous do. For his thought and intent at that time in his life and the calamities that he may have been facing. But that wisdom transcends time. And I'm going to tell you what also about the Church of Christ. I'm going to tell you what about the restoration and the restoration message and the foundation of the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, and that foundational message must not diminish, and how important it is. And it is that powerful message that must go out to the world today because God said it. And there is a power and authority behind that very restoration today. And you say, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And if we see the foundations of Christianity today through the years of a dissipation or an eroding of his foundation, then what we find? We find several thousand different denominations teaching several thousand different things. That's what we find. What can the righteous do? We find things that are being taught today that never you would find in the Scriptures. We find things that are taught to people that are standing in the pulpit that have no business being in the pulpit, that are teaching the Word, and there are those that are in need of repentance for the very sins they're committing, and then basically swaying people wrongly. Even the very example of who they are trying to portray and saying certain lifestyles are even okay and acceptable. And we don't need to really go into that this morning. But foundations are important. So we have a foundation, and part of that foundation, the glue in that foundation that is carrying the message of Christ into our heart is the Holy Spirit. The other scripture I would like to read this morning is out of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. And it is the, once again, I believe the power of God and also the imposition of the Holy Spirit as it moves in our life. The very yesterday, I was talking to someone. And it's not that what they had to say was not important. But as I was talking to them, they were talking to me. And a piece of scripture came to my mind. Out of the blue. Unrelated to what they had to say or what I was saying to them. And it is that very, you know, that mysterious spirit, they say, it operates mysteriously. Not evil, I'm talking about mysterious. Or as it says in the book of John, that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus as the wind. We may feel it, we may know of its effects, but which way is it coming from? Okay? And so this very scripture was one that this, anyway, Proverbs 29, in the 18th verse. And this is talking about, of course, wisdom. There's a lot in Proverbs talks about wisdom. And talk about the importance, the very crucial importance of God's wisdom. Now, man can learn a lot of things, but wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And we're talking about things that are given to us, gifts of God, and also the very moving of the Spirit to our understanding. Verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Okay? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the very wisdom in his gospel. And there is the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. We have purpose. There is a plan. And we're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. We have a vision and a purpose for our lives. We have a point to why it is that we live according to right and wrong decisions. And you have to have a vision of the future through Jesus Christ in his gospel. And that is something that we carry with us. It's called living by faith unto endurance, because there's a reason and there's a purpose for your driving motivation in your life toward eternal life and doing the things that are steeped in his gospel. So you have a plan and a vision for the future through Jesus Christ. And we need that. There, it says, if we have hope only in this life, we are above all men most miserable. So if we're only clinging to this life, and we're going along as if this life is never going to end, and holding on to and trying to make myself happy only within the things that I can see, taste, touch, and feel here in this life, where is my vision? My vision is only in self-gratification for each day. But where is no vision, the people perish. People have to have a foundational and motivational reason and hope of the future. And that hope in the future is Jesus Christ. That hope in the future is eternal salvation. And that eternal salvation is the motivation, the vision for why it is we live by faith and unto endurance. It is the vision, and the hope is for the reason that you came here this very morning. To worship whom and what and why. You know, we have some of us that were maybe raised in the church. Maybe from Sunday school on up. There's some that entered in later in life. But we all have to have, no matter what, we all have to have, each of us, a reason and vision. And it says in the Scriptures, a reason for the hope that lies within us. Okay? Which creates that line of sight for our Christian life. There is a reason that you want to do what is right. There is a reason that you don't want to do what is wrong. There's a reason that you make good decisions. And a lot of your decisions are based upon what's in the Scriptures. There are reasons that you don't want to cheat those that you do business with, that you want to behave yourself honestly. There's a reason for why you want to have a good example and not throw a vicious, hateful tantrum and talk, run down other people. There's a reason why you have a love of God and of all people. Doesn't mean that there are those that, you know, they're just maybe not easy to get along with. We're supposed to have a love of God and of all people. So if we can't love those that we do see, how can we love God that we don't see? God, and the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father, which is that Holy Spirit, will cause us to have the attributes of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Okay? And so that's part of the vision. And we have to have vision. If we don't have that, what he's talking about in here, it's the people perish. People can wander in disbelief. And of course, when we don't have a vision to keep the Lord's commandments, you know, we can be go on into confusion and derision. And we can see many of the attributes of where our country is going today. Because even of the many laws that are being passed in order to protect things that are just not of the Lord. Things being practiced in this country today that are an abomination to the Lord. And there are many people in this country that are in derision, that are in confusion, and don't have good, sound understanding because they don't have the foundational knowledge of Christ. Or some say that they do, but aren't obeying it. And like we were reading in our Sunday school this morning, obeying they hold the truth, but in unrighteousness. It says in the book of Romans. And so the people need a vision for what is true and righteous and steadfast, a foundational cornerstone in their life. That is Jesus Christ. And once again, the glue that holds that all together is the Holy Spirit in a rougher sense of word. I'd like to turn. We have a few scriptures to go into here. I would first of all like to go to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Hebrews in the 12th chapter, and I would like to read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And once and again, patience is one of the attributes, you know, of the Holy Spirit and of our God. Patience. And then there's definitely those that are gifted with more of it than others. And there are those definitely that probably have more than I do. And sometimes I think I have more have a great deal of patience, but you know, you ever see where you think you have good patience, and then all of a sudden there is something that happens to crop up in your life or in your day, and it cuts that patience right to the quick. And you just don't tolerate it no more. There are certain things, you know, that can get to us a little more than others, and that's true. And so the motivation of the Holy Spirit in our life, the moving Holy Spirit, is very important. And we're also going to be seeing more about why that is very important in the Scriptures. We're going to be going through some others. But verse 2 says, "But we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Okay? Now, something very important here. He talks about Him being the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, as it talks about in the book of John, is where we're going to be going here shortly, that he authored it. And how did He author it? You know, we take a look in the book of Alma, and I believe it's 16th chapter, talking about the Word as a seed. Okay? Well, there is the beginnings of the workings of the Spirit within us, okay, to manifest the things of God, or the Scriptures of God, the understanding, our faith. He's beginning that. He's beginning that through the touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's also where there, the touch and the feeling of the Holy Spirit, to understanding, to belief, okay, and being able to carry us on to conviction and laying that foundation in Christ, you know, faith, repentance, baptism, and so on. But it's got to begin. And so He's going to author it. He authors it through the Holy Spirit. And we'll find that later on, once in entering in, by the way, that the Holy Spirit becomes an indwelling comforter and it's an abiding Holy Spirit with us. And then you may get into the denial of the Holy Ghost at that point. There's a difference. But we're not going to go there at least at this point. And so then when we come to where He's talking about a finisher of the faith, the finisher of our faith, when we stand before His holy throne, we see, we know, there's no doubt, it's no longer faith, but it is sight. He's finished that faith. And the finishing of our faith in Christ is the very redemption, the very salvation of our souls. When we hear those very precious words, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." And those are the words we're longing to hear. I'm longing to hear them. I know that you are too. I would like to go back to the book of 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." You know, these were not with my fancy words. This was not of my human intellect or book learning and things like that, Paul is saying. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Once again, there's the motivational vision for our life. That foundational message. I wanted you to know that in all aspects of your life. I didn't want to know that you were involved in anything else. That you're not to have one foot in the world and one foot in the, or straddling the fence, if you will. Saddling the fence. Hot or cold. And so I determined not to know anything among you. That was my thought and desire. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, the demonstration of Spirit and of power, just like it is here today, that we believe with all our heart, mind, and might in the Church of Christ, that our meetings must be conducted by the way of the Holy Spirit. That means, you know something? They can change. the venue here can change. We can break step. And right now, if it be the will of the Lord, and it was moved upon, we could stop reading right here. We'd go into a prayer service. Or for whatever needs may be present. Or that sometimes, this has happened many times, that you have many testimonies of, that you may come to the pulpit with one message, and the Lord says, no, this is the will. This is what is necessary this day. And we've felt that. We've known it. We've witnessed of it. And so Paul is telling us this too. But a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's God's power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God and the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we scratch the surface. Anytime, you know, and we have tasted and we know of the love of God, but you know, I believe we haven't scratched the surface to understand the things which God has prepared for us, the things that for those that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And it talks about in 1 John that there are things that you could talk about with your brothers and sisters here today that you understand spiritually. And there are things that if you talked about them with some of your friends or acquaintances and they look at you just like, you know, they're trying to figure out what 5,465 is times, you know, 10,500. They're like giving you that, you know, trying to figure it out in their head type thing, and they don't know what you're talking about. Because you understand things spiritually. And there are those that you pray for that you hope they did. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. And you know that there is one other thing. There are blessings that you receive, and you know that sometimes it's harder to convince others, even spiritually, that they've received a blessing. Some of us are a harder sell than others, maybe. And to be able to appreciate when a blessing has been given, and I believe that spiritually we understand where the blessings are, and because we are where God moves in our lives, and others just trip over things. And God may also be reaching out to others that He's starting to work with, and they don't understand where that blessing was. But spiritually we can. There are many things that we can allow into our lives because of the Holy Spirit. And let me witness to you one thing that I know that you agree with. Comfort. Comfort. If you were not spiritual, how would you receive comfort? Especially if we can allow ourselves to be comforted when we are spiritual. Okay? And we can be comforted by His Spirit. We can be comforted by the Lord. Direction. Direction and decision in our lives. Because of the Spirit of God, we can allow ourselves to be directed in our lives. When many times when we think to know, because of our intellect, we know something. We have to proceed this way or that way. And there are things sometimes that don't carnally make sense. But because of the Spirit, And I know there are those that talk about even where even operating a vehicle. Boy, I shouldn't. I know I should go this way, but I've got to go this way today because of this reason. And they find out the reason why afterwards. But that's spiritual. Okay, there's many things that we do spiritually because we understand spiritually. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. There are many things that you do. I'm going to mention the word tithing. Okay? We put our tithing into the collection. And you tell others of it. And they're thinking that it's just like feeding the birds. What's the use in that? And think nothing to it. Because, once again, there's no vision. Where's their foundation? Where is their hope? They don't understand. It's foolishness. Where is their vision for the future and for the end of the road or for the end of this life? There is none. And we do that. It's not that, you know, what about tithing? It's not something where God is able to fight His own battles. God is able to do His own work. Now, one thing is that amongst temporarily, money comes in handy for doing a lot of work in the ministry, but God is able to do His own work, and you can never pull out enough money in order to buy a blessing. But what is God doing? We think about the things like that in reverse. Not the money going out, but you know something? He says, prove me now herewith. Try me out. He says, don't watch and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What about those that have little money? Would we ask them to give their money to the Lord? Well, why would I stand here witnessing of the Lord God and His power, tell someone that has a little bit of money or deny them the windows of heaven opening up and receiving a blessing? Why would I keep them from that? Why would I tell them otherwise? The Lord is proving His people. He's already given what you have. He's given everything that I have. And He could also make it go away. But we give by faith. He's given us the whole pie. Are we going to give back some of what He's given to us? So we kind of look at those things in reverse. But once again, it's spiritually understood. Because of that vision of Christ in your life and of eternal life. They are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged himself of no man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ through the motivation of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go over to John 14. Go to John 14th chapter. And this is a very precious one. And Jesus is talking to disciples about the Holy Spirit. And here's where he refers to it as the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, that time he may have been talking to his disciples, of course, and telling them to rely on the power of God, rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and to tell them where to go, tell them what to do, and so on and so forth. And we need to rely. He's telling us the very same thing. And have you ever had that time when either wisdom was given to you, scripture was given to you, at times a hymn has been given to me, and things that you cannot explain, have happened to you. That's going to happen, and I want you to expect that, and we need to notice that. There's going to be unexpected things come into your life when you embrace the power of the eternal God. There's going to be things that you can't explain that are going to take place. And I'm going to tell you what, also, as far as the future, I want to prepare you for the future in this local too. That we're coming on to the stage that the Lord is setting and is going to be setting and is going to the final act where Christ is coming. And we know that the fullness of the gospel is upon the earth, and it is being delivered to these corners and these people of the world and the areas the Lord is sending. And I'm going to prepare us right now that we need to be paying attention to dreams and looking that there may be vision and prophecy and revealments. The Lord said it was going to happen. The Lord spoke to Daniel in dreams and visions, and many other prophets. We need to pay attention to those things. But you know something? They'll be verified. Look forward to those things. They are true. Yes, we need to pay attention to those things. How do you think that there are many, that many of the scriptures came forth? Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There are many dreams and visions. Dreams and visions make up a lot of our scriptures. Paul said, there was a man that I met, whether I was in or out of basically of consciousness, he said, when I was caught up into the third heaven, he said. Okay, Ezekiel, talking about a very describing a wheel and so on and so forth. And we find many, many of these such things. Revelations. John was given visions. And their dreams. Lehi, when he and Nephi was given a dream, he says, "I have dreamed a dream," or other words, "I have seen a vision," talking about the rod of iron, and so on. And so, yes, we need to pay attention to those things, and they're going to come forth. The Lord is going to be leading His people in more power and authority. We need to realize that, and we need to be prepared for it. Disbelief, we got to be careful of. Negativity toward spiritual. We're supposed to be spiritual. And their things will be understood spiritually. And so, yes, He is going to also teach us all things and bring to all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And there are things that may come forth to our edification here for our own safety of our people here. And you say, well, where do I find that in the Scriptures? Hold on, wait a minute here. Hold on. You may not find it in the Scriptures. You know why? Because it may be a new thing that is going to protect this local from calamity. There may be an important decision or something that can save the lives of those here. And what is in the Scriptures is the very fact that prophecy, revealment, and direction do come from the Lord. That is of the Lord, but it will be verified. And it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. But if we have a disbelieving people, you know, we have to look for it. The Lord is going to do this. They said, woe unto the people in the Book of Mormon. It says, if these things cease, woe unto the people. And so, let's take a look over into John 3. John 3. And I would like to read verses 5 through 8. And Jesus, of course, talking to Nicodemus and talking about being reborn. And Nicodemus says, how can a man enter the second time to his mother's womb? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The baptism of water and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, whither it goeth. So everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so it's a new life. Jesus said that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. But you're a new creature. Once again, there are things that you will do that you never thought to do before because they're now spiritually understood. And you do things according to spiritual motivation and according to the plan of the gospel. The plan in His Word. Because you love God. And because He's willingly given you of His Spirit. He's willingly wants to bless you. He wants to look after you. He wants to take care of you. Many people just reject the blessings of the Lord. And I'm afraid to say there are many Christians today that reject the Spirit of the Lord and reject His very blessings. And don't realize of the motivation of the Holy Spirit in their life. Also in this same chapter, let's go to the 23rd verse. Excuse me. Just a moment. That is in the 15th chapter. 15th chapter of the book of John. And we know in this chapter he's talking about abiding in the vine. And we know that living by faith unto endurance is another way of putting it. But what I wanted to go to is verse 23 here, once again. And we're going to be reading through to the end. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now had they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the world might be fulfilled that is written by the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. There's a real intricate, very important, crucial verse here, and important truth. He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. I'm talking to his disciples, of course. When the Comforter comes, and he was talking, about the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost and so on. But when the Comforter has come upon you, he is going to testify. It is the proof positive of the Father and of the Son that if you enter in by the way, that you shall receive. No maybes. Like I said, the only maybe is no hypocrisy and no indecision. But you'll know. And this is what you know you've got to do. And you shall receive it. I would like to turn over to Romans in the 8th chapter. And I'd like to start at, let's see here now. Let's just read the 9th verse here, because we have a few other places that we want to go for sake of time. Verse 9 talks about, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do we see the importance of what he just said to us? How important it is that we walk spiritually. How important it is that we lend ourselves to be moved by the Spirit. I believe the Scriptures bear out that the Holy Spirit does not leave If you've entered in by the way and you've had the Holy Ghost bestowed upon you, it says in the Scriptures, it does not leave. Because it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereunto you are sealed unto the day of judgment. And it shall testify of you. That's why we live by faith unto endurance. That is, it is the evidence, your good works. Works are important. This is where works comes into your salvation. Works are evidence of walking in the Spirit. Because if the motivation of the Holy Spirit is not moving your life, what kind of things are you going to be doing, deciding, and going on to in your life, you see? Your good works in Christ Jesus are your evidence of walking in the Spirit. And so he says, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Talks about Galatians in the 5th chapter, in the end of it, the fruits of the Spirit. That's a little homework for you. And we've looked there in our studies. We're doing that one Wednesday night. We're looking at Galatians 5th chapter, the attributes of the Spirit. And there is, just before that, the not attributes, but the result of not having the Holy Spirit in your life, just preceding those verses at the end of Galatians 5. That you can see other things that will come forth from not having the Spirit of Christ in your life. And so it's important that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. It is. We need to do a health check often to take notice that we are living by faith unto endurance, and that the Spirit is working in our life. And so, the good works will be essential. Your desire to feast upon the Word of Christ. Your desire to do things that are good. The desire to love other people. The patience, the long-suffering, and joy. Yes, we should have joy in our life in Jesus Christ. And that we are thinking spiritually. These are evidences of a health check. A healthy spiritual life. And so they give us the Holy Spirit gives us the faith to endure. There are some things that I was thinking about as I was looking over some of these scriptures this morning. And I hope that the Holy Spirit of God, as we were going through this lesson this morning, the Holy Spirit of God was spurring you to think of other passages of scriptures or witnesses in your life of how these things work. Knit together by the Spirit and power of God. I hope that it was working in you, that you had other thoughts that God was giving you, and they were witnesses, because that's also how that Holy Spirit works. We should have a love of God and of all men, it says. Once again, Galatians 5, love, joy, and peace. Here's another very important and foundational thing in our Christian walk. Forgiveness. Do we know those, even in our midst, do we know those of our friends, those in the body of Christ that have not allowed themselves to forgive other people, or also not allowed themselves to be forgiven for issues that are keeping you or them from the motivation of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ? Forgiveness. Jesus talked about that very much. And he talked about, if we cannot forgive other men their trespasses, how will our Heavenly Father forgive us? I like to think that, and not that I can't, I'm not always learning, which we should be, but I like to treat other people the way I want my God to treat me, especially, and judge is how I want my God to judge me. If I judge compassionately, my God should judge me compassionately. I hope that's the way it is. He says, what judgment you give out, that you shall receive, what Jesus taught us. There is one other scripture that I would like to bring to us this morning, and that is in the book of Ephesians, in the first chapter. Ephesians in the first chapter. And I'd like to read the verses 13 and 14. And I believe this is a very important also and crucial verse that has to do with the Holy Spirit, how it gives us a taste of heavenly things. Okay? Verse 13 says, in whom, go up to verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now that's only one place I was telling you about a witness of that Holy Spirit being sealed to you until the day of judgment or redemption. Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's very, very important. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. There is so much in that one verse. He says, the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, there is so much yet to be revealed unto us when you enter in a faithful servant. There is so much more for you that beyond the human capability to understand the holiness of our God. And this earnest, the Holy Spirit of promise, is a taste of heavenly things. Yet it is a power behind our knowing in this life. But it's so much more. It is a taste of God. It is a taste of the Father and of the Son. It is the earnest of our inheritance. We're given, this inheritance is beyond our wildest imagination. And He's given us a piece of it here. The Holy Spirit is a witness of the Father and the Son. And in a lot of areas in our life where it moves, it says mysteriously, and things will happen. We need to notice that they're going to happen. And this is a small portion of that inheritance. Until the redemption or the saving of our souls are being brought forth triumphantly to the judgment bar of God. Of the purchased possession. Who is that purchased possession? That is you. You were the purchased possession. And we are His possession. The gospel, the sacrifice of Christ was for all men, but not all, sadly, are going to choose Christ. But He purchased your salvation with His very life and His very blood. It's the very sacrifice of Christ. The very blood and flesh of Christ was tortured, and the life was poured out of Him. And before the throne of God, He presented that very holy sacrifice. And only He could do it. But you are the purchased possession. And to the praise of His glory. And so that we may receive that. That we understand and utilize that earnest. That we may utilize that down payment, if you will. Of the full inheritance. Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Where I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a place beyond our wildest imagination. I have heard those that have said, well, they thought they were going to go here and go there and do this and do that. Go play golf here. Or I'm going to go riding horses over there. Or I'm going to do this and do that. But one thing we need to understand, those are all earthly things. God's kingdom is so far beyond that in glory that it is the motivation for the endless and ceaseless praises unto the Father forever. And so I hope you look further into these scriptures and to appreciate them.